Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we got Brian in the house.
Brian's back.
I didn't think we were going to have you this week.
Yeah, you're right. I guess I had told you I wasn't going to be here.
So I was delightfully surprised when I was looking up show prep.
Ooh, listen to this. Delightfully surprised.
Indeed. And said, I'll second
Brian
that.
Is
it's flowing this morning, is it Brian, not, Rose?
No. It's sincere.
It is sincere, because, yeah, we missed you. We missed you. So glad to have you back.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, buddy, I'm kind of like you. When you normally show up here, you've had about 3 hours sleep. Your eyes are kind of like these.
That's not
slits.
A normal. I usually get more than 3 hours of sleep, but
well, I feel a little bit like that. I haven't slept well this week.
Yeah.
When I was in West Burlington week before last, I guess it was last week. Yeah.
And if you've never been to West Burlington, you really ought to go.
Yeah. You love the drive. No, it's actually not a bad drive. But anyway, I went down there every day for 3 days, you know, down there and back to do some training down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened on Friday. I think actually I had a collision with all – I'll tell you who it was with. It was Scott Owen,
okay.
One of our sponsors. I had a collision with him on the basketball court Friday morning. And I felt okay afterwards, didn't think anything about it. Drove down to West Burlington, and by the time I got there, I could barely get out of the car.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I really, really struggled to get out of the car. I had to go, you know, into the store. We had to do the training, which lasted most of the day, and then drove back that night. I've had back trouble off and on for 25 years, never experienced anything like that.
Wow.
So the next morning, wife person drags me off to the ER, and I ended up getting this shot, you know, which was really helpful for the pain.
The muscle relaxant?
Well, I think the shot actually was for pain, and then okay. They put me on a muscle relaxant as well.
Yeah.
And I got through the weekend. I didn't go anywhere. I just camped out at home. And then I've been to the chiropractor 3 times this week, and that guy's been torturing me pretty regularly. And
I've had nothing but good experiences with chiropractors.
Well, I'm not saying he's not doing me any good.
Yeah, last time I went was in high school, though. So,
well, anyway, this is the first day that I've actually gotten out of the house and actually am intending to work.
And you're here with us.
Yes.
We're excited.
Yeah. Before this day is over, though, I may end up leaving the studio because I can't stand sitting here anymore.
Well, we will not collide into you. During the show, I guarantee.
So are you presently daughterless? Do I understand
No,
that?
Not yet. They're going to be going to, Cheryl and I will be taking them to Omaha to fly down to Dallas.
Okay.
For the Turning Point USA Young Women's Leadership Conference.
You're going to have a quiet house then.
Yeah, actually.
It's going to be really quiet. Well, there's no Mo and the daughters are gone.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
Until
Thursday, then we're going to be driving back to Omaha to pick them up. But yeah, it's going to be fun. They're excited. It's just wonderful to see. They're, you know, it's like I didn't really push them in this direction, but Kelby's like a little mini me, you know, when it comes to politics and blogging.
We are not going to take that in any
Except
negative way.
She got her looks from her mother, so
we are not going to hold that against her in any way.
And we praise God for that. But yeah, she's got a good head on her shoulders, and Lily, and she's our little Miss Sassy Pants, you know. She's interested in becoming more and more interested in politics, and it's like that I did not see coming at all. So I'm pretty excited. And Lillian was actually just approved to go to a high school student activist conference with Turning Point in DC. So. We got to get Charlie Kirk is the head of Turning Point USA. We got to try to get him on sometime just to talk about their outreach Well, he's a millennial. They're reaching out. They're doing good work with millennials, doing a lot of activism on campus, and it gives me hope when I see groups like this and the inroads they're making with millennials.
That's
all is
deal.
Not lost with that generation. So, starting with my kids, so I'm happy my kids are getting involved in things like that and learning. So it's going to be exciting.
No, that's a good deal that young people are getting involved because what is it that people have been saying on Facebook over the last couple of years? You will be made to care.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that young people typically think they don't need to worry about.
Right.
They do.
Right. Yeah. And, Calvi's just been really, the whole, one of the hashtags they use on Twitter a lot, it's big government sucks. It's true. It does. And they put out some hilarious memes on Facebook and stuff. So, but it's speaking millennial language. So it's great to see.
So what do we got going today?
Well, we had a primary. Did you vote? You said you didn't get out of the house.
I didn't move, buddy.
Okay. Too bad you didn't know, I wish you had an opportunity to do absentee ballot earlier, but let's see, who's your state senator and state rep? Bacon? Rob Bacon?
Well, Bain.
Bain and Bacon.
Okay.
I think. Because, you're close to Slater, so you're probably in the same House district as Bacon. Well, they both won, so of course, I think they were uncontested, so.
Well, that helps.
Yeah.
Makes it a little easier.
Makes it a little easier.
And fortunately, King won his congressional primary.
Convincingly.
Convincingly. So you didn't, botch it for him. He lost that one vote. Brian! No.
That's really bad. You're always trying to hang stuff on me. And there I was.
It's all your fault.
There I was, flat on my back, all drugged up, trying to heal, trying to recoup, and you're hanging election results on me.
Yeah, well.
Thanks, pal.
You're welcome.
All right, what do we got going on here?
Well, anyway, with the Iowa primary, I made, if you check out caffeinatedthoughts.com, you can see six different observations I made. I just want to kind of highlight this. One thing I noticed was that Republican enthusiasm outweighed Democrat enthusiasm. A couple points to look at here. Here's a key statistic. In 2014, there were 162,633 GOP Senate primary voters. We had a very hotly contested Senate primary. A lot of Republicans came out to vote. Democrats also had a very competitive primary, and they only had 96,906 voters turnout. I thought that was interesting. In fact, they only had 5,000 more voters than Republicans had for their Senate primary this year, which Grassley was uncontested. So,
well, the way I understand it, this is a national trend in terms of the voter excitement.
Yeah, so as Donald Trump would say, they were low energy. Low energy. So, and if you consider voter turnout in congressional districts that had contested primaries, obviously you can't look at second districts since neither party had a contested primary. The Iowa 4th Congressional District had more Republican voters participate, 44,624 voters, than the Iowa 1st and 3rd Congressional District had Democrat voters participate. 31,080 in the Iowa 1st district and 26,113 in the 3rd district, which also surprised me because, that was hotly contested. You had three candidates. Again, on the Senate primary, you had four candidates. I'm shocked that they didn't have greater turnout than that for the primary.
I was too. I thought that was a little low.
Yeah. Steve King took on Big Ethanol and won. As you mentioned earlier, he won his primary, in a landslide. Now, there's been some folks who say, Iowa Starting Line is a left-leaning blog, but he quoted Craig Robinson of the Iowa Republican. He said, well, he didn't win by a huge, 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 huge margin, like 70, 80%. So that means, you know, if you get the right candidate in there, you know, he's got problems in a primary. And I don't know if they were even insinuating in a general election. Okay. I just want to point out a couple things that I think is important. First of all, he won pretty much, I'm rounding here, 65% to 35% over Rick Bertrand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much more convincingly should he have
won?
Well,
if it's David Young, David Young beat Joe Grandinetti like 84 or 85% to 15%, something like that. So they were thinking it should have been like that. But here's the thing. You have no data to base how Steve King was going to do in a contested primary because he's never had a contested primary before, except for the first one that he won and then had to go to convention because they didn't meet the 35% threshold. Otherwise, he's never been contested in a primary.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Bertrand getting 35% did not surprise me. There are moderate Republicans that will vote for anybody but Steve King. Now,
well, Steve's been a lightning rod.
Right.
So it ought not to surprise us that there was some support for
right.
his primary opponent.
Even though the guy was probably the worst candidate I've seen. You know, I mean, not showing up to events and, you know, it's like mind-boggling. Now, he had some money, not as much as Steve King did, but here's the thing to also keep in mind. There was a lot of outside money coming in against Steve King in a primary, which is, again, never happened before. You had, according to Open Secrets, $71,265 was spent by outside groups in favor of Bertrand. So even though Bertrand only had half the money King did, he had more all the outside money. King, you know how much outside money was spent on Steve King?
No, I do not.
$26 by Iowa gun owners, according to Open Secrets. Or not Iowa gun owners, Gun Owners of America. $26. Gee, thank you. What did that buy? A Facebook ad? I mean, you know.
That probably bought somebody's lunch.
Right, yeah. Right. So then there was another $18,566 that was spent opposing Steve King. So, you know, this didn't even take into account money advertising run by American Future Fund against King. So that was even more. So he had all this money bombarding him. You already have a segment of in any primary probably since he's been congressman that would vote against him in a primary if he actually had a challenger. Goof, you know, whether a guy was a good challenger or not, just as a protest vote. That doesn't mean, however, that he's going to be susceptible. They said, well, if you get a good candidate running against him, here's the problem. Big Ethanol tried to recruit a good candidate to run against him. Nobody wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
What makes him think that's going to change in the future as long as he continues to represent conservative values? He is very, very, very popular among grassroots activists
in
the Republican Party. Good luck finding a candidate that's going to be... Here's the thing.
No, I agree. I think Craig Robinson was basically exercising wishful thinking there.
Well, yeah, and Craig's obviously, you know, he's in favor of Big Ethanol, and here's the thing. King is not against the renewable fuel standard. Never has been. It's because he committed the cardinal sin of supporting Senator Ted Cruz in his presidential run. But this is a safe district for him. And he beat Bertrand in every single county. There were only like seven counties where he got less than 60%. So
that's pretty impressive.
So this was Bertrand got his, he got shellacked. There's no, you're spinning it if you don't see it any other way. So anyway.
Take that, Iowa Republican.
Yeah, well, does he have a blog anymore? He never actually posts on it, so it's interesting. Anyway, by the way, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Shane Vanner and Brian Myers.
Is that what this is?
Yeah, hey, and I just looked, it's like, gosh, the segment's almost done. I'm concerned about the Iowa 3rd Congressional District race, though.
How so?
Well, for one thing, okay, Congressman Young had a contested Republican primary. Granted, it was not a strong challenger. Because Joe Granadet came in dead last in 2014 in the primary. I think he had 600-some votes. That's not why I'm concerned. I mean, the margin of victory was, what I would
that's
expect.
That's beyond landslide.
Right, beyond landslide. The reason I'm concerned is due to the Republican interest in the race. Only 21,071 ballots were cast in the Republican Party. I think this could have been because this challenger wasn't seen as very strong. It could also be because Young is not as popular among grassroots Republicans. Because, in 2014 Republican primary, Young finished in fifth place. That race had to be decided at a convention since Brad Zani finished first, failed to reach the threshold. But looking back at the 2012 primary, former Congressman Tom Latham, who also ran unopposed, he received 27,757 votes. More votes than actually people who voted at all in total in this contested primary. So that's a little concerning to me.
So at the end of the day, you think that the folks in that district just basically said, I don't care that much about the incumbent in terms of wanting to support him, so I'm staying home?
That's what I'm thinking. But I don't, all I have is these numbers to look at, so I don't know that for certain. There's been no polling done. I don't know what kind of approval rating he has. I do know he beat Stacey Apple handily, but Jim Maurer, who won the Democrat primary, is not Stacey Apple.
Right.
So he's running up against a better resource,
so Jim
smarter candidate.
Jim doesn't claim to be the mother of six kids.
No, he does not. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
That's Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold, the Modern Woodman of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So we couldn't let another segment go by without discussing the Democrat U.S. Senate primary. Patty Judge didn't win that handily. She had a closer. She was the establishment favorite. She got all the establishment endorsements for the Democratic Party. She had the most money, and she beat Rob Hoeg, who came in second by less than 10%, which was somewhat surprising.
It's fair to say that she had the highest degree of name recognition as well.
Absolutely, being the former lieutenant governor and Iowa Secretary of Agriculture. She should have been. This should have been just a
shoo-in.
Well, a shoo-in. Well, you look at, in 2010, Roxanne Conlon won her primary with 77.5%. Now, granted, Tom Feagin and Bob Krause, I never remember how to pronounce his name. They both were the only ones running against Conlon, and they're not real strong candidates, and they both came in under 7%. So it's not like it was mainly a Patty Judge versus Rob Hoeg thing. So it seemed like establishment like Patty Judge, a lot of Democrat activists that I talked to liked Rob Hogue. Rob Hogue seemed like he was a little more serious candidate, had some more thought out policy issues. Granted, I disagree with those policy, you know, positions, but at least he was thoughtful about it. I don't think there's going to be any accusing Patty Judge of this. She, in Charles City, right before the primary, she was caught on video saying this. Play clip one, please.
I'd like this to be about some lofty ideas of mine, things that I would like to see happen, but that's probably going to have to wait until after November, because I think what my job is going to be is holding his feet to the fire. I don't know if that's the answer you want, but I think that's the truthful answer.
That's what I'm looking for.
So I'm not going to run on substance. I'm just going to bash Grassley. And you're not going to know what I believe or what I want to do until after you elect me.
Shades of Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought of when I heard that. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. How disrespectful of voters is that? And you know, in between, you know, segments, Brian, you brought up a good point regarding, you know, her reason for getting
here. Yeah, she's made a big deal out of what motivated her to run. She has said over and over again the thing that angered her, that, and she turned that anger into motivation to run, was Grassley's refusal to hold hearings with respect to the Supreme Court vacancy. Now, forgive me for saying this, but that strikes me as the biggest, most disingenuous, I don't want to say the word lie, but the largest exhibit of blather that I have heard this year, and I've heard a lot of it. Everybody that's involved in politics and has observed politics and has observed the left and the Democratic Party in politics knows full well that if the shoe was on the other foot, they would be doing the same thing with respect to the Supreme Court vacancy. Everybody knows the right. critical nature of this nomination.
Sure.
And it's just staggering to me. I see these stupid memes on Facebook, Senator Grassley, do your job. And I'm sitting over there thinking to myself, we finally got somebody in the Senate that's actually standing up to these guys and playing hardball with them, because we all know if the shoe was on the other foot, they'd be doing this in spades, mm-hmm. in spades. And the thing of it is, the left, the Democrats, and their sycophant friends in the media would all blame it on the Republicans successfully.
Speaking of Republicans, could Donald Trump be denied the GOP nomination convention? Scott Walker walks back his support.
We can only hope.
Yeah. He said, it's just sad in America that we have such poor choices right now. Scott Walker told a reporter from Wisconsin's WKOW on Tuesday, the news station that reported that Walker wouldn't say whether he would continue to endorse him going forward. He's not yet the nominee, Walker said. Officially, that won't happen until the middle of July. And so for me, that's kind of the time frame that in particular I want to make sure that he renounces what he says, at least in regards to this judge. Paul Ryan called him on the carpet for his comment too, but then his comments are a mixed bag for me. Go ahead and play clip two.
I disavow these requirements. I regret those comments that he made. I don't think... claiming a person can't do their job because of their race is sort of like the textbook definition of a racist comment. I think that should be absolutely disavowed. It's absolutely unacceptable. But do I believe that Hillary Clinton is the answer? No, I do not. Do I believe that Hillary Clinton is going to be the answer to solving these problems? I do not. I believe that we have more common ground on the policy issues of the day, and we have more likelihood of getting our policies enacted with him than we do with her. But I do absolutely disavow those comments. I think they're wrong. I don't think they're right-headed, and the thinking behind it is something I don't even personally relate to. But at the end of the day, this is about ideas. This is about moving our agenda forward, and that's why we're moving the way we're moving. Manny.
Yep. So he's that's a racist remark, but hey, I'm going to back him anyway because he's better than Hillary.
Paul Ryan is in an impossible situation.
I feel bad for him.
He's guy has the most difficult position in politics today.
The press conference was about highlighting the House Republican agenda. So I know he's like, I don't even want to. I got to address it. I don't even want to talk about him. I want to highlight this. This is our agenda. This is what we're about. And this is what the media is going to do. Every time Donald Trump says something stupid, which I'm afraid is going to be frequently, they're just going to be coming back.
Only on the days that end with D-A-Y.
Right, right. So Lindsey Graham called on the Republicans to unendorse Trump. He told the New York Times, if anybody was looking for an off-ramp, this is probably it. There's come a time when the love of country will trump hatred of Hillary.
No pun intended. Trump, hatred of Hillary.
Yeah, of course. I think he's saying he's even considering voting for Hillary, which...
Whoa.
And I've seen some reports where he's considering leaving the Republican Party, which... It's like, come on. We already knew you weren't Republican anyway.
I don't think we'll have a lot of tears if that were to happen.
No. Daily Beast on Newt Gingrich said former House Speaker and Trump supporter Newt Gingrich called the billionaire businessman an absurd amateur on Wednesday and repeated his criticisms of Trump's attacks on the Mexican-American judge over his heritage. Trump made a really stupid mistake last week, and it took him about 3 days to learn. Well, and here's the thing. Oh, no, I didn't mean his heritage. I mean his associations. You know, he's connected to La Raza. This is another thing. He's connected to La Raza. Okay, he's a member of the La Raza Lawyers Group, which is not affiliated with the National Council of La Raza or the La Raza Student Organization. Not the same group. Well, yeah, because they share something similar with their name. Everybody thinks they're associated. Now, I'm not saying this group is all up and up, but – the man attacked his heritage. He didn't mention associations. If he mentioned associations and conflicts of interest, and put out some specific things, and if his lawyers
that'd
were
be
trying,
a whole other question,
that'd be a
yeah.
different thing. And I can respect that, but that's not what he did. And now he's trying to try to.
Well, that's
to,
what he does. That's what he'll say something completely ridiculous and
really
deny it
that.
The next day, and then and act like nothing happened.
Right.
It's incredible.
Right.
Oh, well.
So Hugh Hewitt says a convention should dump him. He said it's like ignoring stage 4 cancer. You can't do it. You got to go attack it. I love it. And right now the Republican Party is facing – the plane is heading toward the mountain after the last 72 hours.
And Donald is saying, dive, dive,
right.
dive.
Hewitt said he disagreed with Republican senators.
Push down on the stick.
He disagreed with Republican senators like Lindsey Graham and Mark Kirk, who said they could not vote for their party's nominee. I want to support the nominee of the party, but I think the party ought to change the nominee because we're going to get killed with this nominee.
Shellac.
They ought to take over and let the convention decide, he concluded. And if Donald Trump pulls over a makeover in the next 4 to 6 weeks, great. They can keep him. It would be better if he'd done that so 5 weeks ago. You know, here's the thing. Donald Trump isn't saying anything that he wasn't saying several months ago.
For a year, he's been saying this nonsense.
For years, actually. So, you know, come on. Really? Maybe you guys should have been, you know, against this guy from the beginning, and possibly he wouldn't be in the position that he's in. David French at National Review, who sadly said he's not going to run as an independent, says delegates are not bound to Trump. Let's begin with a simple proposition. As a matter of law and history, there's not a single bound delegate to the Republican National Convention. Not one delegate is required to vote for Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, or any other individual who wants votes in the primary process. Each delegate will have to make his or her own choice. They and they alone will choose the Republican nominee. And he noticed that this contradicts much of what we've been told about the presidential nominating process and things that I've even said. He said, but state law does not govern the Republican Party, which is a good point. The party governs itself and according to the rules that it's implemented. And frankly, you know, I've had several people tell me each convention determines its own rules anyway. So they don't have to keep the rules adopted at the last convention.
Well, any way you slice it, I think this convention in Cleveland is going to be great theater.
Probably.
I do not think this is going to be a simple slam dunk for the Donald.
Yeah,
I just don't.
And I put out my attempt at trying to do a call-in feature. I asked some of our Facebook fans what they thought of this, and Mike Donahue made this remark: "The Republican Party is a private entity. entity, if they don't want Trump, they should have the ability to pick their nominee, and that's the way it goes. If Trump don't like it, he should run in the Green Party or whatever party is out there. Paul Ryan is right. The nominee of the Republican Party needs to represent what Republicans want them to represent. Trump has only got 41% of the Republican support. Not sure where he got the 41% support, because, you know, when you tie in all the primaries that he was the only candidate running in, it's obviously more than 41%. But anyway, that's, you know, interesting.
Well, that's one of the things that the Drudge Report is constantly trumpeting, to make another stupid pun. But Trump has put up some big numbers in terms of the number of votes that he's gotten in this primary race.
Right.
And so the Drudge Report is suggesting that, you know, this is going to translate into much larger numbers than people are prepared to believe in the general. Your thoughts there?
I'm not seeing that with polling. And I'm not seeing that within, you know, you look at, you know, could he be right? Maybe. This is obviously, it's been hard to predict. This cycle's been really strange, but, you know, I have to believe that some of those, especially in open primaries, crossed over to, you know, are not necessarily ones that are going to stay with him
right.
in the general election. Not everybody, obviously. Most probably will stick with him. But it's hard to say what the independent bloc is going to end up doing, because that's going to be the thing that moves this thing. It's entirely possible, but they're saying he's going to make a play in states like California and in New York, and that's not going to happen.
No.
And I look at Utah. The latest poll out of Utah has him only leading Clinton by 3 points. They're both under 40%, and Gary Johnson has 16%. So
incredible.
So if nothing else, this could actually, we could end up seeing a huge inroad with third party. I'm not a Gary Johnson fan, but I'm not going to be disappointed to see Libertarian Party do well. Within certain limitations, only because maybe we've come to a point in time we need to do away with the two party system.
Well,
I don't know.
Look, this is a real frustration for me. I'm sure it's a frustration for a lot of guys in the Republican Party. We see a very weak candidate in Hillary Clinton. And nearly any other good, solid Republican Party nominee could have shellacked.
Right.
Absolutely. Missed opportunity, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely, as polling suggests. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. I'm Shane Banner, Brian Myers. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give them a call at 515-292-7141 and go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now we've come to our news segment, otherwise known as News You Can Use. First up from the Christian News Network. And I got to say, Shane, this one just breaks my heart, but we got to talk about it.
Okay.
During an appearance on ABC's The View on Friday, Everyday Sundays, which is the name of a band, Everyday Sundays, Trey Pearson, who released a letter last week to fans in which he came out as a homosexual, outlined that he has left his wife, deciding to no longer fight against having feelings for men. "I have been suppressing these attractions and feelings since adolescence," he said. "Trying not to be gay has only led to a desire for intimacy and friendships, which has pushed friends away, and it has resulted in a marriage where I couldn't love or satisfy my wife in a way that she needed." Pearson said that he doesn't believe that change is possible. "I am never going to be able to change how I am, and no matter how healthy our relationship becomes, it's never going to change what I know deep down, that I am gay," he stated. On The View on Friday, Pearson suggested that he divorced his wife and moved out, as he referred to his wife of 7 years as his ex-wife, and said that he meets with her and his two children once a week. "My ex-wife and my two beautiful kids, we share every week, we hang out every week, we have dinner together as a family every week. And that's where my focus is. My focus is on being who I need to be for them, being healthy for them, and being healthy for myself. That way I can be healthy for other people." He had written in his letter last week that he was trying to sort through how to be only friends with his wife and yet co-parent their children. When asked by Joy Behar if he still considers himself to be a Christian, Pearson replied, "I feel like I'm more in love with Jesus and the scriptures than ever. As I've progressed in my faith and as I've experienced this grace, this restoration, this being able to embrace truth without being scared of what people that live in fear feel like." He said he wants the church to accept homosexuality.
Yeah, this is sad. And it's sad that as he was experiencing these feelings as an adolescent, that there was nobody he felt like he could talk to about this. I feel bad for his kids and for his wife.
I
couldn't imagine. And this desire for healthiness, I'm not sure where this rhetoric is coming from. But
Healthy. Yeah,
it's putting your self-interest before your wife, and Scripture clearly says that as husbands, we're not to do that. Now,
and it's a sinful self-interest as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, thinking that seeing your ex-wife and your kids once a week is doing what you need to do as a dad. No, you're robbing your children of time spent with you as their father, because of these feelings that you say you have. Now, to address when he said, "I'll never change, I can never change."
That's exactly right, Shane. That's a huge point.
You can't. You're right. You can't. Holy Spirit, however, inside of you, if you truly are a follower of Christ, can change you if you would repent and turn to Jesus.
"I can do all things." Finish it for me.
"Through Christ who strengthens me." Yes. So, is this something, you know, it's like, "I don't feel like I love my wife." Who says loving your wife is just a feeling? I think all of us have been in times in our marriages that we don't feel like loving our wife. Or we don't, but it's a choice that we make.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some huge, huge problems here. I mean, beyond
that
the things
we can cover in a 10-minute segment.
That's right. I mean, embrace truth. He refers to this as embracing truth.
No, exchange the truth for a lie. And Romans 1.
Very good. And in love with Jesus and the scriptures. Well, what did Christ say loving him was all about? "He who obeys my commands loves me."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Well, can we not say with authority that the scriptures command heterosexuality as opposed to homosexuality. Can we not say that?
Right.
And that's what's at stake here,
mm-hmm.
which comes down to this last sentence we read. Pearson wants the church to accept homosexuality. If it does, if the church does, it's over. It's over.
We've lost our ability to be salt and light in this culture.
Yep.
Well, like
we're
Shane...
we're called to be in the world, but not of the world.
Well, like Shane says, we could talk about that one for probably two segments, but anyway, we'll move on here. The Washington Times had this one. Earth isn't the only planet grappling with climate change.
You don't say.
Although this orb doesn't have much in the way of fossil fuel emissions, or 97% consensus. So there's no consensus on Mars.
Mars is great, and scientists all agree.
Newly published evidence suggests Mars is experiencing global warming as it emerges from an ice age.
Hmm.
Now, we're going to move on here real quickly because we've already chomped through a big chunk of the segment here. But let me finish this at the end of the piece. The consensus view is that the warming trend on the planets is coincidental, and that climate change on Earth can be attributed primarily to increased greenhouse gas emissions in the atmosphere. Quote, Mars and Earth wobble in different ways, and most scientists think it is pure coincidence that both Mars and the Earth are between ice ages right now, said National Geographic News in a 2007 article. So in other words, it's just coincidence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with the sun. No.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
It's fossil fuels.
Yes.
Totally unrelated to anything that's going on in Mars.
Because the sun
Move
possibly
on. There's
could,
nothing to see here.
The sun possibly couldn't change our climate.
No. Next up from the Daily Mail. Barack Obama's spokesman described the FBI's probe into Hillary Clinton's classified email scandal as a, quote, criminal investigation, unquote, on Thursday, less than an hour after the president endorsed his embattled former Secretary of State to succeed him. You got to have some Twilight Zone music here. We got to have that, okay? How does this happen?
She's making history in more ways than one.
How do we have Josh Earnest up there talking about a criminal investigation relative to Mrs. Clinton on the same day that the president is endorsing her? What's wrong with this picture, ladies and gentlemen? Earnest continued, and that's why the president, when discussing this issue in each stage, has reiterated his commitment to this principle that any criminal investigation should be conducted independent of any sort of political interference. He's got no influence down at the DOJ. None. All right, last but not least, the right scoop. A California public school called a Los Angeles deputy sheriff. Let me say that again. Deputy sheriff in Palmdale. To reprimand a 7-year-old student for handing out Bible verses, warning that such actions are offensive.
We'll leave that right there. Just think about that for a second. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a bit. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, uptown, down home, American kids.
I'm sorry if what I said offended you, but you made me mad. Can we just forget this and move on? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Apologies are critical to conflict. They can either open the gate to a path of forgiveness or slam you into the ditch of bitterness. An apology like the one in our opener can cause damage, because it does not request a change of relationship, but rather places the blame on the recipient and sidesteps the issue. There is no indication that the person really sees his own contribution to the problem, and no hope is given for change. A true apology communicates understanding, remorse, and a commitment to change. An excellent guideline is Peacemaker Ministries' 7 A's of an Apology. You can find the 7 A's at our website, crosswalkcounseling.org. Or to get coaching for your big apology, call us at 515-635-5465. That's 515-635-5465.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. You realize we write too, don't you? Be sure to check out CaffeinatedThoughts.com. Subscribe to our email. We send out a daily email. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Be our friends. You got a friend in me. Because
here we go.
I need a friend.
Oh, no. You need a friend. Brian needs a friend.
I know. Brian normally needs friends, but I need friends too. So.
And now, thankfully, we're past all that. We've come to my favorite part of the show, which, of course, that part wasn't. We're about...
You don't want people to like us on Facebook. What's wrong with you?
We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet. You know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
And we know this one in particular wasn't made up because it came from our producer, Ron Carls.
Oh, my goodness.
More Ron.
More Ron.
I like that.
This one he got from The Truth About Cars, which I think the last one he submitted came from that as well.
He's like,
Ron, do you read anything else other than that?
No.
The Truth About Cars.
And Caffeinated Thoughts.
Yeah. The Truth About Cars. One supermarket's loss was Aaron Thompson's gain. The Sydney, Australia man was able to use a 77-pound wheel of Parmigiano-Reggiano cheese that he found at a local supermarket to get himself a used Peugeot hatchback, according to BuzzFeed News. So he swaps a wheel of cheese for a car.
77-pound wheel of cheese.
Okay. That's pretty cool, eh?
Thompson, who has a history of trading and bartering used goods. Now, was the cheese used?
Actually, I don't think it would be, would it?
So used goods for better things.
Yeah. Saw the large cheese displayed in a grocery store that was about to close down. Realizing it possessed some value, he made an offer. The bearded Australian walked away with the wheel after paying a very low price. I have a theory that cheese doesn't go off, though. I guess what that means is it doesn't go bad.
Yep.
It just turns into different cheese. I wish I could do that with an Aussie accent. Even though it was sizable enough to top his spaghetti for years, Thompson had bigger plans for the cheese. He wanted to turn the wheels into wheels. So he went to a local swap and trade Facebook group, estimating the cheese's net worth at $2,100 at the deli counter.
Wow.
Now, how do you end up getting that thing for free? Or a very low price, I guess. Whatever. Here's his pitch.
Five-finger discount?
I don't know. How do you five-finger somebody who weighs 77 pounds? All right. He made his pitch. Now, I don't really need 35 kilograms of Italian cheese. I'm posting here on the off chance that I might be able to arrange a trade for something I do need. A laptop. Or, ideally, a car. It may be unlikely, but I won't know if I don't try. P.S. I got it legally. Get this. He got 4 legitimate offers, including a 2001 Ford Falcon and a Ford Focus. But he ended up taking ownership of a cousin's Peugeot. The cousin wasn't interested in 77 pounds of Parmigiano, meaning Thompson can pay for needed repairs and licensing fees by selling off portions of the cheese online. So you cut this thing up, sell it on eBay.
I'll take a wedge of that.
The rest of the wheel will go to charity, meaning everyone gets to share in the joy that only a hefty block of cheese can provide.
Cheese.
Okay, here we go. It's done a lot for me, this cheese, said Thompson. Wait for it. Who once traded a Volvo for 2 cases of beer?
Hey, when you're thirsty. Now, I can't imagine that this
Okay, two people offered their Fords for this cheese.
Guy gets a car for two cases of beer. Send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Take care.